Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. Thanks for joining me this morning. So I don't know. I didn't look at the clock, but it was, I could probably look at my phone because I took a picture of it. But the sunrise this morning was just gorgeous. And, you know, I was always led to believe that red sky in morning, sailors take warning. So what's, 7:01 a.m. I took this picture. Beautiful pinkish reddish sky. It was lovely. It's gone now, but I guess there are a few perks to being up early. Although when I get up, I'm way up before the sun. Speaking of way up before the sun, I am joined this morning by Congressman-elect Derek Van Orden. Good morning, Derek. I almost forgot about you. Good. Just kidding.
good morning. Yeah, it's great to be on the show. It's wonderful to talk to you. I think it's the first time we did since the election. And
it
was in all the papers. We won.
Congratulations, you rock star. I'm so, so happy.
Boy.
Yeah.
Meg, I am so thankful to everybody that helped in the campaign. I mean, my staff is fantastic and just world-class. But you can have the best staff in the world if you don't have the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that knock doors and make phone calls and all the people that contribute money so we could do advertisements and all that stuff. You know, it's all meaningless. So we have a huge collective group of people that I am just... I think the first tweet and Facebook message I sent out after I found out we won, it was one word that said gratitude.
Oh.
And I'm absolutely full of gratitude. So, again, if anybody listening helped with the campaign, I appreciate it greatly. And I'm telling you what, I will keep my promises. I'm working about as hard as I possibly can right now. And what I'm doing here, Meg, is it's called New Member Orientation.
Congressman
and,
Camp.
So, right, I've nicknamed it Camp. And also Congress School. And what it is, it's really just kind of the nuts and bolts of what the job is. And you have to set up an office, which means you have to hire employees. And I mean, you pick furniture for the office and drapes and paint and stuff like that. And then you really learn a lot of the ethical things that the do's and don'ts. You have a lot of human resources training. And then just sort of what your day is going to be like as a member of Congress. And it's really quite fascinating. So I've been posting, I don't know if you guys are at Derek Van Orden on Twitter and Derek Van Orden on Facebook, but I've been posting pictures of places around the Capitol so that people who can't afford to come out here, because it's expensive to travel. I mean, Biden's economy is, you know, it's tanked. Airfares, it's 30 or 40% higher than it was when Biden took office. So I get it. It's hard to come out here. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing while I'm here is stuff just like that. Like this morning I posted pictures of the cafeteria just so people know what it's like here.
The mess hall.
It's the mess hall. And I'll tell you what, there is unlimited buffalo wing sauce. There's a dispenser for real.
Is it super spicy?
No, it's just buffalo wing sauce.
All right.
But and then we go into conference. Which means that's just when all the Republicans get together and we discuss policy stuff. So the last few days, we've been talking about the rules package. And in each Congress, you get together and you decide how you're going to comport yourself as a body, what you can and cannot do, when you can and cannot bring up different amendments and resolutions. And the reason you do that is so that everybody has an understanding of how you're going to conduct your daily business. And it's actually very, very interesting. So we get together and, you know, people have divergent views. That's one of the reasons I love the Republican Party, because we're not a monolith. You know, the Democrat Party seems to just do everything in blocks. You know, Nancy Pelosi stepped down from leadership next year. And by the way, I was like 20 feet away from her in the chamber and watched her deliver that speech. But they do everything in...
Was she drunk? Just kidding. Sorry. Keep going.
No, Meg, she was not drunk.
Just kidding. Sorry.
But you just tried to throw that in there, didn't you? So the Democrats seem to, they kind of move around like a pod. And we have very spirited as a Republican Party, and they're behind closed doors, and I think they should be, so that people can speak frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And there are divergent views about how the party should be run and who should be in leadership. And I think it's a really healthy thing for us to do that, because then people, number one, first and foremost, you know, each one of these people that I'm in this room with have been elected to represent 750,000 Americans from all across the country. And so it's their job to reflect what their constituents want them to do. And I think that's great and it's healthy. So that's what we've been doing the last couple of days. We just worked on an amendments package. And then today we've just got a series of meetings about committees. You know, I've been very open about the committee that I really want to be on is the Agriculture Committee, because we haven't had a congressman from the state of Wisconsin on the Ag Committee for 26 years.
Are you kidding me?
Jeez. Nope. It was the guy that Ron Kind replaced, Gunderson. And, you know, to me, that's just not okay. Mm-hmm. It bounces back and forth between our first and foremost, or first and second producer of GDP. It's between that and manufacturing. And we need to have somebody at that table on the Ag Committee. We've got the Farm Bill coming up, and a huge portion of that is the SNAP stuff. So that's the food stamps and whatnot. And all these things need to be looked at, and I think they need to be looked at from the perspective of someone who represents, I think, honestly, the most beautiful part of the entire planet. It's Wisconsin's third congressional district. We've got dairies there. We've got creameries. We've got beefers. We do soy. We do alfalfa, corn. You know, it's literally our bread and butter. So that's what we're going to do today, is kind of figure those things out. And then on Friday, they started this. I mean, is this boring for anybody? Listen, I just want to tell you what it's like to be in Congress.
I haven't fallen asleep yet. We're good.
Oh, okay. So check this out. They started this, I think, in like 1908, and it's finding your office. So they draw. It's really funny. I think there's only 74 or 78 of us freshmen coming in. But it's fun to be a 53-year-old freshman, by the way. And then you draw a number, and then you have 5 minutes to pick your office. So they have these schematics, because they're all over the place. You know, it's like a 10-minute walk. So you have to identify where you'd like offices ahead of time. But then if somebody picks the office you wanted prior to you, then you have to go to your second, third, fourth, or fifth.
Is it like musical chairs, in a way? They turn the music off, and you just, I got this one.
No, it's a 5-minute timer, Meg. And if you don't pick in 5 minutes, you go to the back of the line.
Aww.
Which means, and most of the offices are roughly equal, but there's a couple that are split. So you'll have, you know, one part of the office on one side of the hallway and another one on the other side. But so really this freshman orientation, new member orientation, is really, again, it's about the nuts and bolts of being a congressman.
We're dying and to then know. Did you get the office you wanted?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
I will send you a picture. But and then next week we have another week of orientation. That's more policy driven stuff and a whole bunch of ethics. I mean, I know there's the reputation for Congress just kind of, you know, being running all over willy nilly. But I'm telling you what, they hammer the ethics. I just got a packet last night. Again, I mean, it's 40 pages of do's and don'ts for ethical stuff. So I've been really surprised by a couple of things.
It must just be the one, Republicans they give it to, though, right? Just kidding.
You know what? I could ask the Democrats, I'm assuming. But yeah, I've been really pleasantly surprised by that, in that, you know, they really are looking hard at these ethical things that you can and cannot do. And I think that's completely appropriate. You know, I made a couple promises. First and foremost, I will not buy, sell, or trade individual stocks as long as I'm a sitting member of Congress, because I think that should be illegal. Second, I'm not going to take any money from Big Pharma until they are held accountable to the same level that other corporations in America are. They're not right now, and I don't think that's appropriate. And then I'll introduce a balanced budget amendment. I will introduce a term limit amendment for all congressmen, and I'm never going to apologize for protecting American citizens. So those are the five things that I plan on doing these 2 years. And then if I think I'm affecting positive change here in D.C., you know, then I'll think about running for re-election in 2 years. And if I don't think that I'm able to move the needle, you know, then we'll reassess at that point. But and I think that's how we should approach stuff. I did an interview, Meg, 2 days ago with this paper called The Hill, which is very, very liberal. And the reporter asked me if I was used to being called congressman-elect yet. And I said, no, and I don't think anyone should ever get used to being called congressman, because then you've been here too long. If that becomes your identity, that means that you're no longer thinking about the people in Sparta, people in Toma, people down in Platteville, or, you know, where I live in Prairie du Chien. When you start thinking about yourself and your title, I think that you've kind of lost the bubble. And, you know, we just have too much of that. But the other thing I've been really pleasantly surprised by, Meg, is the fact that I would say the majority of the freshman class of Democrats that are speaking to are very open. And we have started a dialogue, just talking to each other to figure out really what they're looking at and their perspective from their constituents. And we have to do that. Again, you know, I'm not going to compromise the values that got me elected. It's just not going to happen. But it's part of my duty to reach out to these other people. And it is a duty. It's not a job. It's, you know, not optional. I have a duty to reach out to the other people on the other side of the aisle and figure out what informs their thinking and then try to persuade them through the power of discourse, you know, that I think that we have a bit to be on. And I plan on doing that every day. And I know it sounds kind of, I don't know how that sounds. It sounds how Congress should be working.
Yeah,
it sounds rational
and logical.
Yeah,
we were talking off air, and it was so much fun. I always say this that I almost we had dead air here on WSAU. But and I asked you this, and you did give a response. But have you received feedback from your constituents already about Kevin McCarthy becoming the next speaker?
Yeah, I have. And some are good and some are bad. I mean, people have different opinions about Kevin McCarthy. And this is what I tell them, or I ask them, do you respect Jim Jordan? The vast majority of them, they say yes. Well, Jim Jordan's voting for Kevin McCarthy. He said that publicly. Do you respect President Trump? The vast majority of people, I sure do. President Trump publicly supports Kevin McCarthy. So because of Kevin McCarthy, Tom Emmer, Elise Stefanik, and Steve Scalise, that's a top four leadership of the Republican Party in the House. They're the reason we flipped the House. And I know everybody thought that, you know, Ronald Reagan was going to come sliding down a rainbow on a unicorn, and we're going to have 435 Republicans in Congress. And that's just not how it works. But we have a majority. We won. We won the majority, which means we get to control the bills that go to the floor of the House to get voted on. And that's very, very important. So to paraphrase what Jim Jordan said, is you don't change out the quarterback that got you to the Super Bowl when the game starts. And that makes sense. So in fact, I know it does, you know, I made another promise to everybody, Meg, that I'm always going to tell them the truth. I'm not going to do what my predecessor did, tell people one thing in the district, come here to DC and do the exact opposite. And then you got to find out later by looking up his voting record on the internet. That's not going to happen. We'll have a dashboard on my website where you can see exactly what I vote for. But I told them this, I'm not always going to vote the way you want me to vote, but I'm never going to lie to you about why I'm doing it. So I will be voting for Kevin McCarthy for speaker, and I'm doing it because he deserves a chance to take the reins of the House Republicans and lead us in the right direction. And if he's incapable of doing that, you know, 2 years from now, we can have another person in there. That's how it works. And here's something else that people don't understand. And I get this on Facebook. You know, I respond to all my own messages on Facebook. That's not a staffer. People don't understand that someone else has to run for election. You don't just like randomly pick some guy and point at him and go, you're going to be the Speaker of the House. The person has to run for election or they don't get elected. So Kevin McCarthy is running and Hakeem Jeffries on the Democrat side is running for Speaker of the House. So January 3rd, after we get sworn in, I think that's our first vote for the speaker. So it's going to be Hakeem Jeffries from the Democrat Party, which would be an absolute disaster, or Kevin McCarthy, who I think has earned the right to get the reins of the Republican Party in the House and lead us in the direction. I mean, our promise to America, our commitment to America, is really a great document. It lays out some real basic things that we want to accomplish, and Kevin McCarthy and his leadership team came up with that. So I'm giving him a chance, and I would encourage people to do that also. Kind of sit back a little bit and just take a breath and look around, assess what's going on, and then do it again in 6 months when we've been in office. Look at it again. If you're not happy, keep writing to me. I mean, I respond, as I said, to everybody. But that's what I'm doing.
Well, and I see, too, Derek, that Marjorie Taylor Greene is also supporting McCarthy. I mean, that's pretty substantial. So. And I think the alternative, and this is something I saw on Breitbart, is that conservatives are warning of a doomsday scenario if McCarthy fails in speaker race, where Democrats can neuter GOP power. We don't want that. I mean, we like you said, we won. Let's take advantage of it, shall we?
Let's act like the winners that we are.
Right. I'm tired of losing.
So, I know. And I totally understand why people really want to discuss these, you know, more esoteric points about policy and vision and all these things. But we have to really look at what the heck is going on in America right now. Worst inflation in 40 years. Very bad. The border is wide open. Over 100 and some thousand Americans dead of fentanyl overdoses coming right across the Mexican border. We abandoned thousands of American citizens and our allies to the Taliban. Russia invaded Ukraine on Biden's watch twice, once when he was vice president, now when he's president. Xi Jinping in China is ramping up his rhetoric for invading Taiwan. Our Navy is in shambles. The rest of the Department of Defense is broken. We have actually spent more money in the Department of Defense and reduced our lethality because we're focusing on this woke stuff. We've had the worst recruiting since the Vietnam War. So there are some really, really big issues that we have to look at collectively as very mature adults and say, we got to remember the long game is our grandkids.
There you go.
And are we going to agree on everything? No. Are we going to get stuff done? Yes. So I'm encouraging people to really focus on the long game. That's what I'm doing. We're going to try to get this ship righted or it's going to sink. And I will have no part of that.
Derek Van Orden, I see on Facebook you posted on November 19th you were up at 0403 and I'm up at 0345, so I got you there. But you did say America is worth the work, and I totally concur.
Yeah, well, it is, Megan. Yeah, I try to get up around 4 every morning. I do a Bible study and kind of collect my thoughts for the day. And then, you know, I read the news from a tremendous amount of different sources. And then do some social media stuff and whatnot. But, and then, you know, it's off to work, off to the races.
Well, so I hope that you will keep in touch when you're famous. Okay. I mean, you're already infamous, but no, keep in touch because we'd love to have you on any time. And I love this update from Congress Camp. So that's great. And I look forward to our next conversation. Congressman-elect Derek Van Orden, God love you. I will look forward to our next chat.
Thank you, ma'am. You have a great day. And everybody listening, again, thank you so much for your support. I appreciate it greatly. Sarah Jane and I will never be able to thank you enough.
Thanks, Derek. Going to go to a break. We'll be right back. Rolling right into the 8:30 news, followed by the second half of feedback in your call, 715-845-2155.